Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Welcome, Moors and Morris Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Manael Bay, and this evening we are dealing with the Morris Summit 2, and we are going to be discussing executing economic security and what that means and why it is so important for us to do that around the country. We have some special guests that will be here with us this evening. Brother Diallo Sukou himself will be here. Shimel will be here, Abundance Child, Fatima Shabazz, and more will be right here with us discussing this thing. And keep in mind, we are encouraging you, if you got any questions or comments later on in the broadcast, you can raise your hands, and we'll recognize your hand, and you can let us know what you got to say about this thing. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, and for more information about your registration for the Morris Summit that's coming up on August the 16th through the 18th, go to www.summitofthemoors.com and register there, and you can check the site out. And if you got any questions, there's a contact number there. You can call Brother Diallo. He can answer all your questions for you right there at that summit. Also, I want to mention that coming Wednesday night with the Morris American Government, you can go there. We'll be discussing contract law, and so make sure you find your way there on Wednesday evenings. I'll be there, and we'll be discussing that. And the number to dial on that is 559-726-1200, and the access code is 107985#. That's 559-726-1200. Access code 107985#. Now, if you want to go back, if you missed this thing, you want to go back and re-listen to it, just change the last two numbers on that 726-1200. Change that to 1299, and same access code, and you can go in there and listen to us discuss contract law right there. If you got questions, comments, you can raise your hand, and we'll get you taken care of. Now, also, we want to make mention of the fact that we are offering our free articles this evening. We'll put the information in the chat room, 14th Amendment Exposed, as well as the Commerce Game and How to Play, Secrets of America, and the Bankruptcy of America, and the Moors. These are articles that we'll send right straight to you. Just to get those, just send me an email. Say, Tahaka, send me those free articles you mentioned on your broadcast to tahaka53@hotmail.com, and I'll rush that to you. That's tahaka53@hotmail.com, and we'll get that right on to you, okay? Now, as far as our website is concerned, for those of you who have problems with your student loans, mortgage, getting rid of your mortgage debt and all that kind of stuff, as well as the child support situation, go to www.newfreehelpgroup.com. That's newfreehelpgroup.com, and before you do anything over there, and before you go to Tahaka's Archives, the link that's there where everything is listed, give me a call and I can explain to you, make sure you get everything right and hooked up there, okay? Now, we will be putting this information in the chat room, but what we're going to do is I'm going to open up the line. I see a couple of my guests have already arrived, so I'm going to open up the line so we can get this discussion going. And keep in mind, later on in the broadcast, we're going to be opening the line so that you can give us your questions and comments, okay? I'm opening up area code 706.
706. Islam, family.
Islam, Mo, hold your hat right there. Let me get this other line open up. Area code 302.
Islam, Mo.
All right. Hold your hat. Hold your hat. Area code 404.
Peace. This is Brother Shemel.
All right. Well, we finna have a wang bang doodle up in here. All right. Now, I'm starting with, since we got two brothers and one sister. Sister, we're gonna let ladies be first. And I want you to give us your name, and I want you to tell us what it is that you have and that you are doing and about your being at the Morris Summit. Could you let us have that? Come on in here, sister.
All right. Peace, everyone. I am Abundance Child. And what I'm bringing to the Summit of the Moors, of course, is a continuation on home economics, how to build our home ecosystems, but particularly this time with health. I'm bringing a Drop Squad Kitchen down to Jacksonville, Georgia. I'm going to do some cooking demonstrations and get some people into photovoltaic science of food.
Oh, my goodness. Could you give us a little sneak preview about what that's about?
Absolutely. Well, you know, we are the only people on Earth that can actually decode the energy from the sun. And why is that? That is because we have a certain type of melanin, which would be like the chlorophyll in the plant. So this is what we call photovoltaism. Now, when we eat certain types of foods, this ensures that the communication will be able to be exact and we'll be able to use our bodies as divine vessels and actually do what our ancient forefathers and foremothers have done. We'll be able to recognize our brothers and sisters. We'll understand concepts of nationality, which begins, of course, in the home. The home with a man and a woman, a black man, or excuse me, a genetically black man and woman, and how we sisters got to start raising the government. And one of the best ways to do that is to cook foods that come directly from the sun or not cook them at all and just be able to serve them up raw. So, yeah, that's, you know, in a nutshell what I'm going to be talking about.
Well, now, when you're talking about eating raw fruits and vegetables, you're talking about longevity of life, you're talking about health, you're talking about beauty of the skin. You're talking about a good thinking brain. You're talking about everything that contributes to life and health and longevity of life. And that's very, very important. I can't wait to get there and taste some of that cooking. I'm also going to be cooking, but I'm going to be going over there to the gardens, and I'm going to set up set up there, and I'll be deep frying some fish and stuff. People like to eat that, and I use my own little batter and seasoning and stuff, and it's going to be pretty good. Is there anything else that you want to add to this, sister, that we're going to miss? You're going to hang with us for a little while, right?
Absolutely. I got one more thing that I'm going to be adding on, Brother Dallo, okay, so I could do this. And that's basically a continuation of what's going on with the Urban Geoponics Moore's Eastside Farm. I started a small co-op, so I want people to not get discouraged when they find out, yes, we do need to be eating organic foods and things like that. And people say, oh, it's expensive. I'm like, well, you know, you might want to cut down on the products that you're purchasing for your skin, those detergents, those soaps, all those things that you're putting all this good food in your body, but then you want to go ahead and use Tide and Dove and all that type of stuff on your skin. And I want to show people how we started a purchasing co-op, how we created our own food sustainability here, and all the members either grow their own food or we started two Moore's East Side Farm here in Delaware. And I want to show people an easy way to get started so that we can continue to do what we're doing here at the Summit of the Moors in our various territories. So that's going to be the final piece, how to pull it all together from outside your family to the collective at large.
Okay, fantastic. All right, well, hold on. Let me go here to our Brother Shimel. Come on in, brothers. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Peace, everyone. My name is Shimel. I am the Director of Media Operations for the Tomari Project, which is a homesteading project located where North Carolina does business for the purpose of establishing a sustainable community, an eco-village for our people. One of the things that we're going to talk about on behalf of Tomari is basically the aspect of distribution. For those who may know or may not know, we do have our own line of alkaline water known as Superior H2O, and we have been successful in distributing up and down the East Coast. We're going to focus on that aspect of economic security, dealing with distribution, also implementing an add-on to what the sister was saying, Sister Abundance, in reference to actually doing our own food co-ops. We also are involved in that and basically working as far as cooperative economics on the level of agriculture first, which is the food.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, now, you're located where?
North Carolina. Specifically in Forsyth County, we have land there consisting of acres out there, which is right outside of Winston-Salem.
Okay. And so now, out there, you guys are growing your own food and stuff? You have your little gardens and stuff set up yet?
Yes, we actually do. As of this year, we did initiate and start the aquaponic system for growing our food. And this is just a continuation of what we've been doing for the past couple of years in reference to the agricultural aspect of economics. And, again, when Brother Diallo reached out to me, it was a union made to be made because what he's doing on his end with the Moore side, East Side Farm, and the geoponics, urban geoponics, and what we're doing over here, it just blends together. So we're more than happy to be down there coming up and support what he's doing as well.
Okay. All right. Well, brother, we're going to just hold on. We're going to get back to you. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bring my brother Diallo Sakur in. But before I do, we're going to have to give him a drum roll. We're going to have to give him a because the brother is doing some excellent work down here. And we're going to give him a little introduction. And then after this, he'll go off, then we'll bring him on in. Okay, so y'all hold your hat for a minute on this end.
I go to work. these letters, it becomes visibly better. Cause my foundation built a nation of rappers, and after I came off vacation, I came to roam the land to own, stand alone on the microphone. Daddy's home to open the door. Playtime is over. Time to go to work, work to show the suckers in the place who run their face. A taste of the base is who's the ace. Start the race. I'm coming in first. With these verses, I build a curse. So rap stay captured, mode these rapture. And after I have to, I have to slap your senseless with endless rhymes. Don't pretend this is anything short of dependence. And when this rhyme is done, your mind will become so trapped in the rap. You lust another one, but you gotta wait. It takes time. I don't write, I build a rhyme. Draw the plans, draft the diagram. An architect in effect and it slams. And if you speak when I'm done, renovate and build another one. I go through. Like a punch, my rhyme rocks you. Sometimes it knocks you so hard it stops you dead in your track. So power packed, before you can react, you're flat on your back. Down for the count, get up and dismount. Cause I'm coming with an endless amount of rhymes in a hurry, like a flurry. A collage, a camouflage, a power punch, but don't worry, knowledge is an antidote. I got hands and smoke right in that speed of light within sight. I wrote rhymes on a level so you can't relate. Unless you're intelligent, so stay awake. Sleepwalkers, slick talkers. This time a native New Yorkers. Riding a crescendo wave to save the mental state of the fans. Understand my pencil's writing the rhyme in its highest form. And I'ma drop it on you like a bomb. And when it explodes, I'll blow up. A few casualties, but so what if you slow? You blow, you know you go. I flow on pro, I go.
Of the Moors, August 16th through the 18th, 2013, located in Jacksonville, Florida. 3 days of executing and planning of executive plans for 25-year agenda, operating as an economic unit. The presenters will be Shem L. of the Tamarain 2 Project, Dr. Ali Muhammad and Minister Inky of the Black Genetic Tour, Sundiana Amael, Professor Isef Dean Ham L, Tahaka Amana L, Abundance Child, Fatima, the Alchemist Shabazz, Messiah L, and more. Topics will be the execution of urban geoponics, creating independent distribution systems, creating independent economic systems, genetics, private security force, the wholesale and manufacturing of natural products, Morristown, creating one in every state. Moore's Eastside Farms, creating one in every state. You do not want to miss this summit. It is very enlightening, empowering, and most of all, it's applicable. Everything that we talk about, we do. Summit of the Moors, August 16th through the 18th. Log on to www.summitofthemoors.com. You can register for free. The summit is always free. You can also get your hotel room, which will be on the river at the Wyndham Hotel. That's www.summitofthemoors.com. The summits are always free. See you at the summit.
Brother Diallo.
Yes, sir. I go to work like a doctor.
You go
to work. I'll fight you.
Well, that was your drum roll. Come on in, man. Let us have it. Tell us about it, man.
I appreciate that right there. We're going to have to make that the theme for everybody, man, because everybody going to work on his phone right now. So that's
okay.
The theme for everybody. You know what? That may have to be the charity single we all going to drop. Bunny's going to drop a verse. Shim going to drop a verse. You could drop a verse, and we're going to put it out. 2013,
okay.
Go to work, baby.
Go to work. I eat
some hamburgers or something. Dr. Henry Clark said this. He said the people with so much potential to be so potentially powerful have so little power. And that says a lot about us because we all know we have solutions, we have information, we have resources, but we all are not working together. We haven't tapped into that collective universal power or energy to come together. We want to bicker about who got the best information. We want to bicker about who's on that side, who got this color, who got that on that flag. In the meantime, babies can't eat none of that. You understand? Children can't run with that. We can't. That's not brick and mortar. That's not an institution. That's garbage. Some of the more ends all of that. We bring it together. We want to put the distribution together with the Tamaray Project and any other group of Moors or conscious people that want to do something for the whole group of people. That's what we want to do. See, the Summit of the Moors, we got 20 seats left, 20 of them. So it's free. You got all these powerful people right now who's coming on their own dime, spending their own time to come, just like January. Those same another group of people that came on their own dime, their own time, to come make Morris Eastside Farm happen, to make Urban Geoponic manifest, and everything else, the Morris Equity Group, come up out of this thing. So we hope we inspire the planet. We hope that we eventually control and run our businesses and our enclaves that we create around the country and internationally. We'll have people Skyping in from Johannesburg. We may have a brother coming in from France. I'm not sure. But we will have some brothers coming in talking about the relationship that we're creating in Johannesburg, South Africa. So, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, hold on a second, and I'm going to open up this other line and find out who we got right here. 561, tell us who you are, where you calling from.
Baba Sundiata Amel. Raining.
What's going on, brother?
Raining from the highest of seven hills in Tallahassee, Florida. Yes. What's going on, my brother Tahar? Yes,
hey,
yes, my brother
Diallo. I'm glad you. Hey, I'm glad you called in. So now we got all of the lines open up. So I'm ready to get down to some dialogue about this thing, man. And let people know the importance of what we're trying to do because inside the advertisement, if you listen to the advertisement, it clearly stated that we're trying to duplicate this thing and make sure everybody go home and do this thing in every city. We're trying to put it in every city. We're talking about being self-sustaining. We're talking about digesting the best. We're talking about taking over and transforming your neighborhoods into thriving, self-sustaining communities. And we started this thing here with the Summit of the Moors, and we want this thing duplicated across the United States. And what we are hoping is if you're in Chicago, you got it going on, you don't wait on us. You just get it going on and just take the information and get the job done because so that we can survive and be self-sustaining regardless of what happens inside the United States with the American dollar and what they're doing over there in Congress and all that stuff there, we go to work. We're busy doing what we're supposed to do with what resources and stuff we got. All right, so let's get it down into this dialogue. And Sister Abundance, you want to start us off with this thing?
Am I what?
You ready to start us off with this little dialogue on this thing? What you think
Absolutely.
The audience need to know about what we're doing now, in addition to what you've already told us?
Well, I think the audience needs to know that there is no gray area. You either are for us,
people or you're not. And if you're not participating in the Summit of the Moors, or if you're not participating in any of these types of progressive industrious works that we're doing, then you are on the wrong side. We're in a time right now where you have to choose sides. And if you're not on the side of health, if you're not on the side of cooperative economics, if you're not on the side of nationality, if you're not on the side of economics or any of these things which are the platforms and the foundation for the Summit of the Moors, then I must say that you are on the wrong side.
Okay. Well, Suni Otto, what you think?
I am in alignment with that statement. You know, right now is the time. As we look out in the air and we look on the social media sites and things of that nature, we are still dealing with people, our brothers and sisters, going back and forth, as Diallo mentioned earlier, bickering. We still, let me just say it, bitching. We still bitching with each other. And that right there is something that has to come to a halt. It is a must in order for any people to see the fruits of their labor and the light at the end of the tunnel. They have to be able to say, you know what, I may not agree with what you believe in or how you feel about something, but we still have to sit down and dialogue and come to a resolution and sit down together at the same table and not get up from that table until something positive comes from that discussion. Not any debates, tired of debates, like was stated earlier, who got the best information, da-da-da-da-da. How long have we been on this road of knowledge of self? If the majority of us, or at least, you know, the chosens, don't have that knowledge of self to the point where they can actually utilize it and create something tangible, so they can create something that their children can see in 2 to 5 years, then I don't want nothing to do with you. You know, I love everybody. I love all my kinfolk. But if you're not progressive in your mind state and actually talking about putting something down, whether it be something in agriculture, whether it be something in manufacturing, no matter what the industry is, no matter what the avenue or institution is, something has to be built. And we got online universities, we got online temples, we got online this, we got online that, and it's all fairy tales. All of it is fairy tales. So until we can actually see the land purchasing, the land acquisition, and the utilization of that land and space where we can create, manufacture, distribute, sell, and pass something on to the next generation, then, you know, like I said, I don't want nothing to do with you or that fairy tale. I'm all about putting the work in. I'm doing things here in Tallahassee. And just like you said, Brother Taharka, when it comes time, when people in Chicago, Seattle, Portland, Miami, I don't care where you are, put out the call. Me, Diallo, and whoever else, Brother Shem, hey, we'll come to your city. We'll come to your city, you know. Let's get the monies up. We'll come to your city and show you how to set it up and maintain it. That's what it's all about. Let's get that going. Anyway, that's my piece for now. Peace.
Okay, now, what you're talking about is actually putting all the foolishness aside and actually hitting the pavement and making it happen. You know, no time for no meetings, no arguments, no debates. None of that. Let's just come straight out there and let's do this thing and get it moving. And then going on straight to the next thing. That's what I see you saying. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it's all about. Doing something, hitting the pavement, making some moves. And there was a brother on Facebook earlier, Brother 2200. He put on a post. He posted something about, you know, people in the temple, sitting in the temple, not out in the streets, and other people trying to come back at him saying, well, you can't be all the way in the street. You got to have part of your time, half of you got to be in the temple, this, that, and the other. And I felt the brother's sentiment, and I understand where other people are coming from, too, in regards to this balance that we're trying to create in terms of the teachings, the lessons, Sunday school, Friday meetings, things of that nature. But the brother's heart is in the right place in terms of being out on the concrete, because that's why babies are. They out in that concrete jungle, and he was all about being out there uplifting humanity. And he said, you know, the temple is the body. You know, my body is the temple. The universe is the temple. The globe is the temple. The people that are out there, that's the temple. So that's the sentiment that I'm feeling right now. Let's go out there and let's make something happen. Let's hit the ground running. Let's raise these babies. Let's talk to our children. Let's talk to other adults, young adults, about, you know, who they are, what their nationality is. Plant those seeds, and then let's go plant some seeds and go plant some more seeds and plant some seeds and plant some seeds, and let's see the fruit of our labor come to fruition. Absolutely, brother.
Okay. Brother Shim, where
yes.
you at? All right.
I'm right here.
Let us have it. How do you see this?
To add on to what the brother Sundiata said and to add on to what Sister Abunda said, I'm in the line with what they're saying, and the key thing that makes the Summit of the Moors different than any other summit or discussion or panel talk is application. If you have a solution that doesn't have an application, it's not a solution. Any dialogue that doesn't imply application, that doesn't implement application of things to do, a plan of action, is not a dialogue worth discussing. And it's not a dialogue worth hearing. Just like the brother Diaco said, our babies can't eat ideology. So that's why it compels me to say certain things to our people, because that's one of the reasons why I put up online the situation about the saying, food is our common ground. And what that means to me is that it doesn't matter what religion, what ideology, what political statement that we are dealing with as a people, and we're talking about people of melanin, we got to eat. You follow? Our babies have to eat. We're talking about the survival of our people and the advancement of our people. So all this discussion about, you know, who was first, who's the successor, you know, what's on the flag, you know, every last one of us here in this conversation right now is living proof that you can hold on to the principles of love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice, operate under the structure of a temple, of an organization, and still be active. Being part of a temple doesn't mean you're not active. It doesn't mean you just go to the place and you just hear sermons. No, that we're different. As people who are supposed to be conscious, we are supposed to enact on our consciousness. And this is what the Summit of Moors is about. So I'm looking forward to getting with like-minded brothers and sisters. And like the brother said, you know, we want to duplicate this thing. This is not something that we're trying to have a monopoly on in one area of the country or the globe. We want this duplicated across the country and internationally. So for anyone out there who's been riding the fence about coming to the Summit of the Moors, you need to come down, because this will probably be the first, and maybe the first, definitely the first time you've ever heard talk like this. And it's not just talk. This is plans of action being put into place. And that's what I have to say.
Okay. All right. Now, Brother Diallo, we got the cake already sitting. We need some icing on it. Come on back in here.
I'm like Jay-Z.
What more can I say?
No, we saying it all, man. It's really not. I'm really not too much on the talk thing. We know we like to go to work. The brother Shem, Sundiata, my sister Abundance. We already know what time it is. Bottom line is, I mean, to give you a little vision of what we've accomplished thus far. From January, during the Noble Dr. Ali birthday weekend, which was the first summit, January this year, we came together and we formed a business, nonprofit. We also have land where we farm fruit and vegetables. We're also bringing out a beehive to create the honey. We also be bringing out solar panels for the fish that we want to farm. So this particular plot that we're on was donated from a brother who came to the summit, knows me, knows my family, know what we're about, and so he gave it to us to work on. So what we're looking at, self-sustainability. And see, that's really, those are words you're hearing going around now in the whole green movement, quotations, green movement, and that's really food sovereignty. When you start taking control of the primary things in life, food, clothing, and shelter, you got. You're no longer dependent on a corporation to give you what it is that you're supposed to have yourself. So there are a few elements that's taking place when Georgia, Florida, Delaware, Virginia, Cali, Texas, when all these places have a Moore's East Side farm, at least one in their state, there are a few things going on. Here they are. One is we are eliminating food deserts. That's giving our people immediate access to affordable or even free organically grown food. Another thing that's taking place, therapeutic exercises, coming out to the farms and pruning, weeding, growing, conversation, dialogue, while we work with the elders, the teenagers, veterans, all of that. Another thing that's going on is the thing that they said we couldn't do. Quotations, black people, Moors, can't work together. But it was the Moors that put their money together to do this. Right? Another
That's
thing,
right.
We are creating an independent economic system, meaning we're not looking for jobs or a grocery store. At this point, we are independent of these things. So the other thing is another thing. You're looking at a brand, a franchise, that everyone who's a part of it has stake in it. It's not like it's not like this is a pyramid scheme where, well, if you buy so many tomatoes, you can get this many watermelons. No, you're part owner of several franchises that'll be going around the country. And this is a paradigm that I like to introduce to people. If you got a product and you want to talk about it at the summit, or you know, you see that it's something viable, well, we can act like the Shark Tank and we can be the bank, because Moore's are the originators of banking. So we fund your particular project. We have equity in it, and we do what we need to do to put it out around the globe. So now, say for example, what I like to mention the most, this particular toothpaste that Abundance Child makes. Let's say she creates a brand just for the group to be a part of, not her other, but one brand that we all can have equity and stake in. We then fund that toothpaste, and we make sure that that toothpaste becomes the number one toothpaste on the globe. Inside of our built-in market, those people that normally buy Tom's, we know that we got a lot of people that buy Tom's or that don't buy toothpaste with fluoride, but we market and we make sure that it's a viable product to compete on an international level. And now we have one particular product that we all own. You know, several people own stake in this one little product. And you got to start small because, you know, if we did that, once we perfect that, then there's no stopping us from the next venture. So then when we look at when we have these properties in Florida, Georgia, boom, 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 let's say we get 25. I'm going to use the number 25. We have 25 farms within next year. That means that all these people are stakeholders in 25 pieces of real estate around the country. When a year before, you only had your apartment or your house. Do you understand? Then
okay.
You look at that neighborhood. Normally, where we're eliminating the food deserts, the neighborhoods are run down, some of them, which I don't mind because when it's run down, there's a potential to make a lot of profit. Europeans do it every day. They call it whitewashing. Except this time we're going to come in with more. We're going to more wash it. We're going to build it back up. In economics, they call it urban redevelopment and economic development. We can do all of that. We can take the old crack houses and turn them into manufacturing warehouses. We can take a 1,500-square-foot home and turn it into a place where we come in and we put together the toothpaste, the soaps, the lotions, and then the next home, this is where we may handle the Wall Street information. The next home is where we handle the technology information. But everybody, it may be in one particular place, but everyone has stock in these particular companies. And when we have these companies, we have to insure people the same way that Garvey did. These people had insurance. They all had stocks and shares in his line, in his cruise line, and everything else that he did. See, it makes sense that we have it. We look at it from a collective versus just one person, and everybody just buys into that one particular person. I like that, but I also like the fact that everybody owns a particular thing. That way, we'll have several revenues coming in. Versus just one particular thing. We have it coming in from different areas. So instead of Bill Gates, we'll be like Warren Buffett. We'll have Geico. We'll have Fruit of the Loom. We'll have railroads. We'll have several things. And these are the things that we need to be looking to buy into in the next 10 to 15 years is buying into railroads, shipping, large shipping. We need to be in that game, not just petty eddy stuff. But we need to be into the tens and $20 million game, and it can be done collectively. When the people sit down, the egos, and figure out ways where we can end and create this, I'm sorry, not end, but where we can create real economic security and be viable. Then we can cut the check on the politicians in your areas to do what we want to do, to get done what we need to do. We can build those institutions in that area, same area where those farms are. We can build those centers, those culture centers, those schools, those jobs, those factories, little small home factories. We'll own and control those areas, move into them, or own the real estate and rent it out to the people that we know are like-minded.
Okay. Well, now, Brother Shamel,
yes,
about the economic side of the alkaline water that you was talking about into this thing? How does that play in there? Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, with the superior H2O, what we've done with the Tom Murray Project is we decided that we was going to allow our people to have the opportunity to become independent distributors of our product. In other words, everything is for us, for of and by us. So we basically use the same formula that the Jews and other ethnicities have used, where we buy from ourselves this product, which is the water, and we sell to everyone else. So we make sure that we have secured in certain areas, places like Atlanta, New York, where we secured brothers and sisters who wanted to have an opportunity to earn revenue. And in the meantime, we supply them with the product, and then that becomes a center. Now, if you notice, if you look at any successful beverage company, what makes the beverage company successful is its ability to distribute. You may see and I'm just going to use this as an example, not that I'm promoting it, a Coca-Cola bottling plant, distribution plant. It's not that all of the beverages come out of that particular place. That is one particular distribution center right there in that part of the country. There are several other ones all around. So what we're talking about with the economic side of the superior H2O alkaline water is being able to have distribution centers all throughout the country and internationally. So,
why alkaline water?
Oh, alkaline water. Oh, well, okay. That's a great question. Alkaline water, period. Anything alkaline, the body cannot have a disease in an alkaline water. In a body that's alkaline. So when you deal with alkalinity, right, it fights the acidity in your body, and the acidic substance in your body is what's causing the diseases in our people. So we're talking about health now. So we have decided to push a product that is healthy for our people. So many times for the chase of the dollar, we look into something that we want to sell that's going to be easy to sell because our people have been accustomed to it, you know, whether it could be anything. But what we decided to do is to promote something that's going to be actually beneficial to our people health-wise, because that is really what's going to benefit us in the long run. You don't want to sell something to your own people that's going to lead to their demise. You want to provide something for them that is going to benefit them in the long run, because we're talking about generations. We got to get back into natural ways of eating, drinking, things just like what the Sister Abundance Child said. We got to get back into it. So the alkaline water was the perfect product to go ahead and present to our people, because prior to that, at least to my knowledge, there was never a product insofar as that. There's been, you know, alkaline machines to alkalize the water, but this is a naturally alkaline water that is from a source on the land that we have. So it also goes back to what we're promoting with the self-sustainability, you know, going back, living off the land, off the grid, if that's what you choose. So all these things coincide with what we were promoting with the Tama Ray Project.
Okay. Now, Abundance.
Yes, sir.
Now, I know you made mention of the fact of these organic products and stuff. How does these particular type of products that you all produce benefit the body? That's in the satellite of this thing that we're doing.
They benefit the body because they are food that comes from the sun. And when I say organic, I'm not necessarily talking about USDA organic. I'm strictly saying because, you know, there are the 400 different chemicals and things like that that could be allowed according to USDA standards to be organic. What I'm talking about are things that we grow on our own in our own backyards and in our urban centers that we're not using pesticides and things like that. Now, because we're not using those pesticides and things like that, when we eat these foods, we're actually able to have true bioavailable food. When I say bioavailable, meaning like we're able to get all the nutrients and sustenance that is given by the sun. So when we put that into our body, we're actually able to use that as energy. That's true food. So that's why it's helpful. When you have true energy food, then you can actually use your mind to do things that most people cannot do because they are they're sickened with, like, the standard American diet of chemicals and gluten and all the things that are not good for our genetic type. So once we're able to free up ourselves and eat what we consider to be Aboriginal indigenous organic foods, then we can start to realize some of the things that we've heard from Amos Wilson, Elijah Muhammad, Prophet Nobu Jarali, Marcus Garvey, and things like that. Until we start, you know, filtering out all the crap that's in our body, we'll never be able to self-realize anything because we actually are what we eat. So if we are truly organic, Aboriginal, indigenous, sovereign Moors, then we have to start eating like we're Aboriginal, indigenous, sovereign Moors.
Okay, now let me ask you this now, because you are a female, you're a woman.
Yes.
How does the hair on a woman's head, how can that be benefited based on the stuff that we're talking about? What could change there?
Well, when you eat these types of foods that are helping to sustain your life, that means that your hair follicles will be more open. You won't be clogging your pores with a whole bunch of junk, because what happens when we eat foods unlike the foods that I'm talking about, we don't even know that we have a lot of feces around our brain and things like that. And you could you know, ask anybody who does autopsies, there's a lot of fecal matter around our brain area. Now, we need those centers open so that we can actually do the things that we are put here to do. When you do that and you start using less detergents and you buy some of the products, like I have a co-op that uses coconut oil, avocado oil, anything that could come from the kitchen, if we can eat it, we can put it on our hair. You will find out that your crown will grow. Your hair will be very less dull. You won't have to put a whole lot of crap on it to make it look lusterful. So basically, your hair will be able to grow. It'll be more healthy, and you know, just basic common stuff. If you put good stuff into your body, then all aspects on your body will be better, including your crown, including your hair.
Okay. Well, and the reason I asked you that, because I've had some, and more than once, had some harrowing experiences going to different grocery stores and especially in a parking lot. I pull up in the parking lot, I park, and I open the door, and I get ready to step out, and I fall over trying to keep from stepping on some what I thought was this foreign creature, but it ended up being some weave. And it was out there on the ground in the parking lot, and it just happened to be sprung on me. And I wanted to the sisters to know that we do have an alternative that would increase and beautify and contribute to the uplifting. Even though today here, I'm proud to say that I've been seeing a whole lot of sisters been wearing their natural hair now.
Yeah.
And I'm beginning to believe they've been listening to my broadcast because I've been getting on about that weave. But anyway, Brother Sundiata.
Hey, Tahaka.
Where you at?
Tahaka.
Yeah, man.
Hey, now, she got to go. Her show's about to start. She has to run.
Okay. Well, sister, we certainly appreciate you coming in. And go ahead on. And what's your area code here?
302.
All right. All right. Well, go ahead, and then when we get to over here, we're going to rush over there where you at. I'm trying to find you to get over there.
I'll be ready for y'all. Thank y'all. Thank you.
All right, sister.
Peace, abundance.
Peace.
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 All right. Now, Brother Sundiata, you and
yes,
Andy Arlo and Brother Shim, I need y'all to tell me about these herbs, man. Y'all give me a breakdown on these herbs and the benefit of these herbs.
What you want to do with the herbs?
Everything that's supposed to be done with them. Y'all let us have it.
Well, I'll give a quick two-minute breakdown on the herbs. Well, from a producer standpoint, herbs are wonderful because they don't require a lot of the same attention that regular, you know, fruit-bearing vegetables require in terms of the labor, the attention, the care, the infestation of insects. They're a little bit more easier to manage. That's why a lot of people who do grow, they just stick to herbs because of the lower levels of maintenance, so to speak. Also, from a producer standpoint, they seem to not pull as much energy and nutrition or mineral content from the soil, so you're able to kind of keep growing herbs at a greater rate, at a faster rate, and they grow and produce ready to be harvested at a much faster rate than fruit-bearing vegetables do. Now, on the consumer side, herbs serve many, many purposes. Just like all foods, they're medicinal. So just about every herb you can find, and even weeds like, you know, dandelion. You know, we grew up seeing dandelion grow all over North Florida, and you never thought that it was anything but just a weed growing out of the ground. But the dandelion leaves have, you know, healing and nutritional properties. So do the root of the dandelion. But the herbs in general, you can do so many different things with them. You can create oils. You can create essential oils for aromatherapy to relax the mind. to relax the soul and to relax the different ethereal bodies that you have attached to your physical body. You can create ointments out of them. You can create salves. You can create, you know, different pastes. You can just you can do so many different things with herbs. They're such a versatile part of our part of creation that serve many, many purposes on the physical and ethereal level. So in addition to that, herbs are just the therapeutic nature of herbs and the ability to use them in things like soaps, shampoos. So when you grow herbs, I guess I'm going back to, well, that was kind of on the consumer side, but going back to the producer side of things, you could actually use those herbs to produce and be a product within the different products that you can use, like I mentioned, soaps, shampoos, toothpaste, hair products, natural hair products, skin products, all sorts of things. So that's basically what herbs are all about, what they do. I mean, in addition, even if you grow livestock, you know, there are a lot of folks that I know who grow livestock, such as goats, sheep, things of that nature, rabbits, and the growing of the herbs. You can feed, you can mix herbal concoctions within your livestock's feed, and that helps to produce more healthy animals. It boosts their immune system. It does so many beneficial things to them. So just to answer your question, in a nutshell, the use and the ability to use these herbs is so wide. There's such a wide array of usage for these things, and it just makes sense to have the growing of herbs in addition to the growing of your fruit-bearing vegetables and plants. So that's my two-minute piece on it. I'm sure one of the other brothers can go maybe a little bit deeper on it.
Okay, y'all come on in, brothers.
All right. Brother Shem, I'm going to state for the record, I'm not an herbologist, so I'm putting that disclaimer out right now. But to add on to what the brother's saying, yes, absolutely, you can use herbs not only for the medicinal purposes and the cooking purposes, also for the spiritual purposes as well. A lot of times we don't realize, you know, we hear about it every day, we may have read it in the Bible, frankincense and myrrh, that's herbs. A lot of things that were used back in those times, in the ancient times by our ancestors, had a lot of spiritual and esoteric aspects to it. Certain herbs help open up the third eye. You know, everybody talks about the third eye, the pineal gland, and the melanin. So for those who are really into the knowledge and the study of aspect of melanin and the benefits and the functions of melanin, you really start to realize what role that the herbs will play in the activation of the melanin and actually keeping the melanin and the pineal gland active and healthy, because that's, you know, as above, so below. Those are what the ancient ones said to us. So when you go around, finding herbs ain't really that hard. You know, we talk about ginseng, ginger, you know, certain mushrooms, cinnamon, you know, these are things that, you know, are around the house, and we don't look at it for what it really is. This is medicine. It's food, yeah, but it's medicine also. So without, you know, trying to sound too deep about it, you know, the herbs definitely have, you know, the physical benefits and the spiritual benefits.
Yeah, you can take those herbs that you grow, you package them up, and you sell them. You can create you can use them immediately. And as far as us on the economic side, what we have, like today, we just bottled up basil. So you take that basil, we dehydrated it, and we bottled it up. You can extend the shelf life of the herbs, the organic herbs that we grew out here at the farm. And so with doing that, you have a product, an immediate product that we can ship around the country and around the globe. That's my take on the herbs.
Okay. Now, let's talk about a current market
for what we're doing, because this is what I see. I've been in grocery stores across the country, and I notice I read the labels and stuff on the packages, and all of your major grocery stores are importing their fruits and vegetables from South America. They're getting all their fish from outside the country and all this stuff. So in your opinion, in you guys' opinion, what do you think is the impact of the marketable side of what we can do with what these existing structures and companies and stuff and accessing and getting the products that we have that are grown organically?
Let me chime in on that real quick. This is Brother Sundiata. After I answer this question, I have to take off for a minute, but I'll be back on the call. But yeah, let me definitely answer that. The market is wide open. I mean, when you're talking about herbs and you're talking about fruit bearing fruits and vegetables, it's wide open. And one of the main reasons why it's so important and so critical right now for Morris Eastside Farms to pop up in various places is because the demand for locally grown produce is an ever-growing market. I see it every day, I urge people to look at there's a movement in Asheville, North Carolina. I can't remember the exact name of it, but it's the Appalachian where these folks up there have created an entire system of sustainability, especially when it comes to locally grown produce and the restaurants in which they sell to. So now it's like the folks in Asheville have created this body where this organized body where they can certify or give a particular type of certification and stamp of approval for restaurants who participate in the growing or in the purchasing and cooking and usage of locally grown produce. So this type of movement is taking place all across the country. So that's why it's highly important and super critical right now for us, especially Moorish Americans here in this land, to take advantage and tune in, really put our antenna up and tune in to that market. And it's an ever-growing market. It's a demand for it, like what Brother Shem L. is doing with the Tama Ray Project, that demand for alkaline water to get the body in an alkaline state is crucial. And that's the same thing that these foods do. The majority of the foods and fruits and vegetables that we're talking about now, that we're advocating for, are high in alkalinity. So that's the state in which we want to get the body to prevent the cure disease. The market is wide open. It's for the taking. And right now with the Urban Geoponics Branch and the Morris Equity Group is right in alignment with where the universe is and where economic systems globally are. So we're there. To be frank, we're a little behind. But that doesn't mean that we're still not right on time, right? We're still right on time for the movement and everything that we're doing and the impact that it's going to have on our people economically as well as socially. So that's my answer to that question, Brother Taharka. And I just want to say peace to the brothers and sisters and everybody on the line. And excuse me for my absence for a few minutes, but I have to go, and I will return and participate back into the conversation.
Okay, what's your area code?
561.
All right, we got you. Okay.
Okay.
Now,
right,
okay. Now, but Sonny ought to go and run off for a minute. He'll be back, and when he do, he'll raise his hand. We'll open back up the line. And now, Brother Diallo, I'm going to be getting back to you. We got one more caller that's calling in, so we're going to open up 786 before we get to Brother Diallo and Shamel. 786, come on in.
Islam, hi, peace. This is Fatima.
Hey, sister, where you been? Come on in here.
I'm here.
All right. Well, tell us about what you all bring to the table at the summit and stuff, and what you guys got going,
and just give us a general breakdown of what you got going. Because we're going to get to these energy plants. We need to know about what plants promotes energy. This is one of the questions in the chat room. But come on in and let us know what you got there.
Okay, well, I myself, I teach holistic living from a plant-based diet. I'm a holistic health counselor. I'm also a producer of natural skincare products. I live down here in South Miami. I work with many different medicinal plants and herbs, like the Moringa oleifera, which is one of the plants that I currently sell part of my product line. I was speaking to Diallo about just being here in South Florida and that we have so many food deserts down here. But because of the climate in South Florida, I think it is a great place to set up more seaside farms because we are able to grow so many different variety of produce here, all kind of tropical and exotic and things that we can grow year-round here in Florida that can't be grown in other parts of the U.S. So,
well,
that
I have to agree. Go ahead. I'm listening.
So, yes, so that was something that I had brought up, getting a more seaside farm down here in South Florida eventually, and also just whatever I can bring to the table in terms of my knowledge of holistic healing from a plant-based diet and the plants and the herbs and creating natural skincare products and be able to help this movement go forward collectively.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to leave your line open, sister. We will be back. Brother Diallo.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, based on what we heard, and I know you got a ton of information to give us on these natural herbs and stuff, because I done seen them. They're growing everywhere right now. And then you jumping up and down, you growing stuff I ain't seen in years. But and you're growing stuff people done forgot about. And these plants are beautiful and they're growing. But now, as far as the energy promoting food and stuff that's growing, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I'm like this. I'm not as highly qualified as some of my company. I prefer to be surrounded by the people that's qualified in those areas. And I'm going to just make my little statement brief. I sum it up like this. We all get our energy from the sun. We're surrounded by plants that daily gets the daily energy or chlorophyll from the sun. And so all we have to do is tune in to those foods, to those plant-based diets, and we'll be eating pure energy. I like to sum it up, pure energy. From the sun. I do eat seafood, but the plant-based diet is one of the diets that helps move on, helps our blood, helps everything in the body to be at peak condition where it needs to be at. So I let people like Ms. Shabazz break down the herbal thing or abundance, child. I'm not an herbologist.
Okay.
But I do grow. I do believe in
them. Well, I know you do. I see them. You be growing them. I don't see them. Now, this is my next question. Now, and this is just off the top of my head, because I'm just wondering, and Sister Shabazz, we're going to get back to you and just hold that question there, because we're going to let you give us a breakdown on this thing. But, Brother Shim, this is just off the top of my head, and I'm just wondering, because you're talking about alkaline water. How, in your opinion, how do you think alkaline water would benefit the rapid growth and potential for maximization of the organic fruits and vegetables if you just use that alkaline water on that? How do you think that would benefit that?
Oh, well, I can use the example of what we've done here with the Tom Ray Project. because, as you know, that we're just discussing about foods that produce electricity, things of that nature. One of the key things about alkalinity and electric foods, you're dealing with minerals, okay?
Okay.
Now, on the land that we have, the water runs across limestone. That's a mineral. It's the minerals in the water that help to make it alkaline. So anything that has minerals, you know you're dealing with something that is potential to produce electricity, like potassium, things of that nature. So the high amount of these minerals in the actual alkaline water is highly conducive for the growth of vegetation and, you know, just healthy vegetation in that, because you're dealing with photosynthesis, like the brother was saying, our energy comes from the sun, so the plants produce their energy from the sun, the food through the photosynthesis, and that also plays in line with the water, because you have to have those minerals to help feed the chlorophyll. You follow what I'm saying? So all this,
okay.
it's a food cycle. You know, it's one big food chain that we, you know, our ancestors knew. They were very well in tune with it, and now, again, we're starting to get back into it. It's a consciousness that's going all across the country. So, absolutely, it's definitely beneficial.
Okay, so now, in your opinion, let's just say that we, because a lot of us don't live in houses. A lot of us live in apartments. And we have a little space, and they have flower pots, and we can get pots and stuff and grow little herbs and stuff from experimenting and actually take and use these herbs, because these herbs for the healings of the bodies, of the ailments and stuff that you have. What if, in your opinion, we got, let's say I got five flower pots, and I want to grow five different herbs, but the only stuff that I'm going to use for the growing of these herbs is organic stuff for the soil and all this stuff, but I'm only going to water it with alkaline water. Now, do you think that that will promote a better-looking plant, a more healthy, more powerful plant, in your opinion?
I think so. And again, I'm not an expert. I don't claim to be an expert in that field. I can only go based on our experience, what we've done here. And since we're also talking about agriculture, we can't forget agriculture without talking about aquaponics. And that's the system that we just started this year. The aquaponics, of course, aqua water. So when you have the aquaponics system, another thing on top of it being you having stronger organic, naturally organic food, is the fact that you're able to grow year-round. You follow me?
Okay.
Because you don't have to deal with the frost of the ground during the wintertime and things of that nature. So these are the things that, you know, we're talking about, and will be discussed. I know the brother Sundiata, you know, that's his field. You know, he's definitely an expert in that area. So when you implement the alkaline water, for those who can, it definitely benefits not only in producing better crops, but when you use the aquaponic system, you're able to grow crops year round. So you can't have food without water, or vice versa. The water nurtures the land and that is needed to produce the crops. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, y'all, hold on a minute. Lady Fatima, I'm going to get back to you, because you down there in South Florida, I just left there. We got to talk about these exotic plants, because people don't understand. Down there, you got plants down there that simply does not grow anywhere else in the United States, and it is magnificent. Even the hedges is out of sight. So y'all hold on for a minute. Air code 817, come on back in. 817. Okay, it's just loading here. But Lady Fatima.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
But Lady Fatima.
Yes, yes, sir.
Okay.
All right.
But
holy, we got some kind of echo going here. You on
yes,
you on you on
okay,
speaker
right.
speakerphone?
Hold it, we got some kind of echo going here.
Can you hear me better?
Oh, I hear you real good now.
On my end, it sounds like it's a delay.
Okay. All right, well, go ahead and speak to us and give us a vivid portrait of the plant life down there where you are, because it is magnificent. And you can go any place else. I've already seen it. Give us that. Lay it out for us.
Well, down here in South Florida, especially where I'm at, I'm actually in Homestead, which is south of Miami, and I live in an area where most of the commercial farms are. Down here, this environment, it's able to grow many exotic fruits like the guanabana, the sour sap, which we use it medicinally to treat things like cancer, the moringa oleifera tree, many different passion fruits, many different fruits that usually grow down in Central and South America or Africa or certain parts of the world that won't grow in other parts of the U.S. They thrive well here in South Florida. So I think that this would be a great place to look at in terms of growing some of those exotic fruits to have on the market and to create herbs from the different plants, get herbs from the plants that can grow here and also sell those on the market.
Okay. Now, you live in Homestead, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've been there. Now, Homestead, Florida is a secret. You know that. Homestead, Florida is a place where this is what I seen when I went there. This is as best I can describe. And because I know plants, and I've always grown plants and stuff, got a green thumb, I grow them big and huge and all that good stuff. And I know how to do that very, very well. But when I got down there, one of the first things I started paying attention to is the plant life. And what I noticed is that all of the plant life is different. The palm trees are different. And I wanted to take some of that with me because my sister lives there. And she mm-hmm. says, you cannot take this home because if you take it home, it won't grow there. I said, if I can get two or three of these, I said, I'll be a millionaire because they have never seen anything as magnificent as these. It is one of the most beautiful things that you've ever seen. If you get down there, ladies and gentlemen, those of you listening to this broadcast, when you get down in there, out the back door of Miami, across the street, as far as you can spit, and be in the Florida Keys, this type of a plant life, the hedges, the different trees, the different type of plants and stuff that you see there, you've never seen. A lot of us have never seen these before in our life. And you just have this thing where you want to take some of this stuff and carry it home and grow it, but it won't grow there. And I seen some plants down there. I mean, it was just was magnificent down there. But now, tell me about the energy plants and the energy herbs that you have there.
We have Cerasi. We have the one that I'm big on
is
the Moringa oleifera. Cerasi, it's a Caribbean fruit. It's a bitter, and it's really good for raising the body's pH levels. reducing fevers and inflammation and mucus and things like that inside the body. The Moringa, it's a nutritional powerhouse. I myself, that plant, that herb, it had a lot to do with me losing 70 pounds, having a lot more energy, sleeping a lot better at night. Just the Moringa oleifera itself, that plant. And there's so many different plants that can grow here because it's always hot and humid. It's raining all the time down here. So it's conducive to plant growth. And there's also hundreds of thousands of unidentified herbs and plants just here in the Everglades that people that aren't even aware of as of yet. So yes, the plant life here, it's a very huge kingdom that is not fully been explored. And we have regions like the Florida City area, and Florida City, which is a major food desert for the Moors in this part of the region, I think would be a great place to produce a Moors Eastside farm because it's right down here. It sits on the ley line. It's coral all up under this region. You know, it's aquifers all running through this part of South Florida. So the mineral content that's in the water, a lot of the soil down here, it's very rich minerally.
Okay. Well, I have to agree with you because I've been there and I've seen it. It is in my opinion, it is another world. And I guess a lot of people who are there who've never come up out of there and visit other parts of the United States just feel like it's just normal and natural. But I'm here to tell you because I've experienced both sides of the world. But down there, that's the Garden of Eden. You got plants down there that have never been seen by people. And I'm talking about it's very difficult for me to explain what I'm seeing when I went there compared to what I have seen here. It is a sight to see. It's extraordinary. It's beautiful. And there's fruit and vegetables and stuff that we know absolutely nothing about. And these plants and stuff, and I was trying to figure out, where did it come from? Did somebody bring this here? Is it remnants of when once the earth was one land mass or something? Because this is extraordinary. I mean, I find myself, you know, when we was down there, the brothers and sisters would say, well, pull over here to Burger King so we can get something to eat. I said, well, y'all go in there and eat it. I'm going to go out back because I see something. And I went out the back door, and there's this plant. And the only thing that I could compare it to was a hot red cat, what do you call it? It's a red cat chanelle. And but this was a tree that had the same type of design. I said, where you come from? Who are you? And it was magnificent. And the people around in the area, they was looking at me like I was strange and stuff. And then he just standing there looking at that tree. And I'm trying to figure out where this thing come from because I've never seen anything like it. And I know plants. So, Susie, you're absolutely correct. If you come up here and travel over the United States and compare what's down there with what you see in the rest of the parts of the United States, you clearly understand that you are in one magnificent place. It's awesome, I must say. Now, I'm going to open up the line. Brother Diallo, Brother Shim, y'all come on back in here, man. We only got 35 minutes left. What'd you think about this?
It's a beautiful thing, brother. Beautiful thing. But we also got to, you know, we can take a look at all the metaphysical and esoteric stuff that ties into agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
If I can use a big word, it behooves us not to be involved with agriculture. Because when you Kroger's, you Winn-Dixie's, if they were to ever shut down, a lot of these Negroes would be ass out, baby. You understand? They don't know a piece of grass from a grape in land. You understand? So at this point, we're mm-hmm. about empowerment and educating the people to get involved with the farms. Don't just come and take a look. Get involved. Be a part owner of it. Help progress your people's economic sustainability in this country. Get back on the plantation. Own the property. Own
yes.
your food supply. You understand? Don't just sit there and look and go to a big shiny air conditioned building and pick your food. Go out in the sun. Let your children put that seed in that dirt. Water it. Grow it. Their mentality, their whole paradigm changes because they now get to see where their food is coming from. Their kitchen counters is filled with the food that they harvested. They can walk out their back door, if your backyard looks like mine, and go pick some chocolate herbs, herb mints, mascadimes, strawberries, tomatoes. Come in here, throw it in the pot, throw it in the blender, drink it, eat it, freeze it, whatever, because it's theirs. They ain't paying anything for it. They grew it. You understand? These are the things we got to look at. We got to look at how, when we talk about Maat, when we talk about Osiris or Asar, his true name, he was green. He represented transformation because he was the god of agriculture. And it was from Asar that Tammuz came, and it was Tammuz that brought forth Jesus' character. Because it was the Roman Emperor Constantine who brought in the new religion mixed in with the old Tammuzian followers. So we got to understand that it's always been there. We just had to tap into the source. We had to apply the information that was already there for us. The first form of government is agriculture. You can't, if you come out of the house with nothing or come to a land with nothing, the first thing you do is you start farming so you can eat. And that guy next to you was doing the same thing. And so y'all trade because he has corn and you have tomatoes and, you know, you trade it like that. And then it moves on and it moves up to other things, formation of economics, sustainability around that particular community. This is what we're doing. But we want to focus primarily on the agriculture, but see, there are millions of dollars outside of growing when you get into the harvesting, the economic side of it, when you get into the distribution, the wholesale, the retail, the shelf life. When we get into the part of the power structure, which is where we need to be at, not only growing, but retailing our own products, we put ourselves in power positions. Not to be at the mercy of economics. And he who does not know economics is at the mercy of economics. If you don't know nutrition, you are at the mercy of nutrition, and you wind up with that sugar. You wind up hypertension, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, because you don't know anything. You're following traditions of your daddy who he didn't know. But at this point, we got to stop it. We have to put out the information along with the products and the applicable solutions simultaneously, not just get out and be talking about it. You got to be about it.
All right. Well, I agree with you 100% on that because you're talking about some solid economics and stuff, and we're talking about people actually doing something that's real, real simple. I was riding with a brother yesterday. He told me he wanted to go to the bank. Now, when we were riding down the highway, we seen the bank we was looking for, big, tall building. And so I said, turn here. He turned in there, we turned up in the parking lot, but when he turned in and moved right in around the buildings, he was riding close to the building, and I was trying to look up and see which one of the buildings it was, and he was riding around and around the circle. I said, hey, man, look, pull over there, pull out toward the highway where we came into the last
freeway and then let's ride out of there because we're too close to the forest to see the trees. So when we pulled out there, we was able to see, just like we've seen from the highway, the actual building that was going to. And I think that's what's happening inside the United States with a lot of us. There are a lot of us is listening to the broadcast inside the United States. We got green thumbs. We've been meaning to get around to growing our foods and promoting health and stuff because if you're going to be healthy, then it behooves you to grow your own food because you know what's in it or to have something where you can promote some type of life inside your house. But if you are constantly being too close to the forest, you never will see the trees. If the store right around the corner, you can run around there and then you just create the habit of doing that, you never will get around to doing something. So I'm in absolute agreement with you. We need to take a serious look at this thing. We need to take a serious look at the economics inside the United States and where this country is headed so that we can understand that it's time now for us to start doing for self and start promoting and creating and using what we have at our disposal, which is a very, very affordable. It doesn't cost you anything to go and get you some seeds from somewhere. You can go to but what our parents used to do. My mama, she'd go down the street. She had her little garden. She'd go down the street. She'd say, well, I'm going to go down to Willie Pearl House because she's growing this, that, and the other. I'm going to go get some of them seeds, and I'm going to come down here and grow them. And she'd go down there, and she'd come back with a little brown bag. She'd go in the backyard. And what was interesting to me, it was when she come back, it almost started getting dark. But she get back there with the horse start coming. I said, well, why don't you wait till tomorrow? She said, I ain't waiting on nothing. Get out and wait. And she go to digging and plant. And next thing you know, we have field peas, we have string beans, we have butter beans, we have all these things that we was eating, and nobody spent the dime. Everybody was self-sustaining. There was no such thing as us, everybody getting in the car because we didn't have no car, either all of us getting together and walking up to the grocery store. We never did that. We had our own food, and we were growing it right there in the yard, and we was eating it, and all of us was good. It must have worked because when I turned 15 years old, I was boxing. Knocking jokers out, police on too, and off the vegetables, good and strong. He run out there, and he gonna see these big old tall jokers on me. Somebody, you think he handle one of them? Somebody, yeah, he got a ring. I hit him so hard his knees buckled. He jumped and fight. Stop the fight! Don't you hit him no more? And they cussed him out. Somebody, you a sorry joker. But anyway, strength. Longevity of life and our natural fruits and vegetables and it also has an economic value where that we can survive economically and be healthy at the same time. You can't beat this thing. So y'all hold on 1 second. We'll be right back in a minute, okay? Hold on.
Greetings. I'd like to invite you out to the Summit of the Moors, August 16th through the 18th, 2013, located in Jacksonville, Florida. 3 days of executing and planning of executive plans for 25-year agenda, operating as an economic unit. The presenters will be Shem L. of the Tamarang 2 Project, Dr. Ali Muhammad and Minister Inky of the Black Genetic Tour, Sundiata Amma L, Professor Isef Deanham L, Tahaka Amana L, Abundance Child, Fatima, the Alchemist Shabazz, Messiah L, and more. Topics will be the execution of urban geoponics, creating independent distribution systems, creating independent economic systems, genetics, private security force, the wholesale and manufacturing of natural products, Morristown, creating one in every state. Moore's Eastside Farms, creating one in every state. You do not want to miss this summit. It is very enlightening, empowering, and most of all, it's applicable. Everything that we talk about, we do. Summit of the Moors, August 16th through the 18th. Log on to www.summitofthemoors.com. You can register for free. The summit is always free. You can also get your hotel room, which will be on the river at the Wyndham Hotel. That's www.summitofthemoors.com. The summits are always free. See you at the summit.
Okay, Moors, we got a new website up. It's newfreehelpgroup.com. Now, when you go over to newfreehelpgroup.com, make sure you examine everything that's there. We put several packages up for those people who have, if you're in your house upside down and you just want to cancel your mortgage outright. It's all illegal anyway. Just go right over there to newfreehelpgroup.com, and the link of talkarchives.org is there. You click on that, you will see all the packages that's made available to you. Now, don't forget, you cancel your debt, you got a student loan debt, child support debt, credit card debt, all that can be dealt with. And any other contract cancellations, you'll see all the packages that's there made available. But what we are doing is, for anybody that's accessing these packages all the way up until July, we're adding to our archives to each one. So don't forget, go right there to newfreehelpgroup.com and click on the link at talkarchives.org, and everything is sitting right there waiting on you. Okay? Peace, Moles.
All right. Area code 561. Come on in.
Hey, peace. Islam. This is Brother Sundiata. How's everybody?
Okay. Hey, we back. We back, man. We appreciate you coming on back in. And but before we get started on any more questions, what I need to get from you, or anyone who can answer this question for me, I need the number to dial into Abundance Child's show when we leave this in. We're gonna shut this down, and we're going over to the after party over there. So if you know that number.
You ready? You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. 347-215-615-6592. Got it. 92. I got it. Okay. All right. Now, Moles, y'all heard that. Now, that's 347-215-6592. We're going over to Abundance Child's show, and I'm going to dial up in there, and so we'll all be over here. Now, we're going to shut this thing down in the next 22 minutes, and that's where everybody will be for the rest of the evening over there until she's done. I don't know how much time she'll have left, but I'll be over there, and everybody else that dial into the broadcast, we'll all be over there. But brother, Shemel, and you and Sunada, y'all both can maybe answer this question for me. Now, like I said earlier, a lot of us don't have houses and land and stuff of this nature. Could you give us a breakdown on how the average Joe living in an apartment, what they can do to grow their food, and you know, in the small space that they got? Let me have that. Sunada, hold on a minute. Let Brother Shem start off, and then you come in behind him and give us that.
Indeed.
All right.
Hold on, Brother Shem.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You put me on the spot. Let me say this. Definitely, there's a multitude of ways in which you can do your urban gardening. There's a lot of different things you can view, research online, in aspects to growing, whether it's the pots, the aquaponic systems, having a tank, doing it that way. Without going into grass detail, I would definitely say look into research the aquaponics. If you can get a tank and create an aquaponic system, and I know the Brother Sundiata can go further into that. Definitely that's one of the ways you can grow the crops year-round inside, or your vegetables and things of that nature inside the house, and also you want to be able to, of course, set it aside in a proper place as far as temperature, you know, not too hot, not too cold. Again, I'm going to leave it to the experts. I'm gonna pass that on real quick to Sundiata.
Come on, bro.
All right. Okay, yeah, just to camel back off of what Brother Shem L said, he's absolutely correct. You can create an aquaponic system inside your home, or if you want to do it outside, which most people prefer to have something like that set up on the outside. You just need to make sure you need that you have some type of covering, some type of shade, a small little hoop house, or just some type of, you know, just some get some 2x4s and some paneling and create just a little shelter for your fish so that they don't burn out or don't freeze up when subjected to colder temperatures. But to add on to that, yeah, pots are a great way to grow. You know, and some people living in apartment complexes have a very difficult time because even if they try to grow in pots, sometimes they just, the way their apartment is positioned, they just don't have a lot of access to sun. So one of the ways to sort of counter that is your community garden approach. And you need to look to see if your city or municipality has a community garden program. And if you're serious about growing your food and they don't have a community garden program, then you need to get involved locally on the local level to implement a community garden policy-wide program that's policy-wide across the city as well as the county. Here in the Tallahassee territory, we have a city community garden program as well as a county community garden program. So Tallahassee being a quote-unquote certified green city, you know, those things are here, and the region that we're in, the southeast region, especially this temperate zone that Tallahassee is in, along with Jacksonville and much of the Panhandle, is suitable to grow, you know, tons of food, so many varieties year round. So your community garden is one of the best ways to ensure that you have an opportunity and access to grow local, healthy, bountiful produce. So that would be my suggestion for folks who live in apartment complexes and townhomes where they don't have access to a lot of growing space. Seek out your community garden program in your city if they have it. And like I said, if they don't have it, fight for it. Put it on the agenda. Go to your city commission meetings. Go to your county commission meetings. And I guarantee you, if you go and you have a number of people who are like-minded, who want to see something like that implemented, then you can get that on the agenda. Now, if you don't want to go that route, then just get with like-minded folks, find land, acquire it by whatever means. Hopefully it's legal, and that term is very broad, as we know. But you can just do your own. I'm sure that most of us have friends and family who may own property, who just have a single-family home. They may have a yard big enough to create a garden that people, you know, that close friends and family or like-minded ones could come and share in the harvest. So you got to get creative. That's the thing. You got to get creative. And if you're serious about growing and feeding yourself and your children healthy food, affordable healthy food, and like my brother Ron Finley stated out in Oakland, he said, growing your food, growing your own food is like printing your own money. That is such a true statement. You save so much money by doing just that. I give it just a quick example. Today, I created a homemade pasta sauce for my children. Tomatoes from one of the local gardens, banana peppers from my own garden, jalapenos from one of the local gardens around the corner, my basil right out of my front yard, red onion from a local source. So you take those things and you create your own food, and that's saving money. I didn't put any real sweat equity into the growing of a lot of that food. It's just, you know, just out in the front yard putting the time in. No real dollars spent. Of course, we know time is money, but when you talk about actually putting dollars into it, you know, not much went into the construction and maintenance of the gardens that I have in my front yard. So community gardens, aquaponic systems, growing in pots, and being creative with like-minded folk to come together as a collective to grow your own food. Those would be my suggestions.
Okay. Well, now, Brother Diallo.
Yes, sir.
I got a question for you.
Is it serious as cancer?
This is very, very serious because we're going to get down to the raw, naked bones of the matter. How do we describe for us how to just simply use what you got to get the job done? I mean, if you... You know, I mean, not going out buying nothing. You know, if you might have some wood around the house, or you might have some pots around the house. Let's get down to the just bare, naked, nitty gritty of this thing. Describe that for me. How you get that going? What you do?
All right, that's a good question because I just posted something the other day about, you know, in the hood, you know, we get to see the brothers on the bicycles, pulling the lawnmowers, going to cut yards for money.
Okay.
We get to see brothers with bags and bags of aluminum cans going to go make money from that.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they didn't make an excuse about not getting a job or nobody gave them money or anything. They created a way to create revenue. You see? So that mentality is a winning mentality. That's a can't lose mentality. And we need to look at that mentality and apply it in our everyday life. Don't nobody want to hear excuses. They only want results. And this is why I tell people, talk to yourself. Tell yourself you don't want to hear no excuses. Call me back when you got the results. So when you look at your food, you look at your backyard, you look at your space. And I was told a long time ago, if you God make do with what he has. You understand? We're not looking for anything. So you take your diet. Let's say you're a chicken eater. See, that's why the power is always in numbers. You know, Claude Anderson mentioned how we don't need any more Tiger Woods or Oprah Winfrey billionaires. We need the whole group to have that type of money. So if you take a person who doesn't have a lot of money but has a space, a backyard, go get you some chickens. Get a couple other people, get you a chicken. We're going to do that here. Create a co-op of chickens that grow your eggs, that lay two or three eggs a day per chicken. Now you got your eggs. You think about the food that you eat. You can go purchase your rice, unless you want to start a rice farm in your backyard. But you get everything that we purchase, we can buy. You look at your tomatoes. You look at your herbs, you look at your collard greens, your cabbage, your squash, your dates, your mascadines, what else? Your hot peppers, your watermelons, your cantaloupes, everything that you normally eat, you should be growing. You save a lot of money, and you want enriching other corporations. But you're enriching your life and your family at the same time. And then you can influence the neighborhood, your neighbors. Hey, man, hey, I'm going to grow this. Why don't y'all grow that? And then you can swap out. See, while they're growing the tomatoes, you can be growing the bell peppers. While they're growing the red onions, you can be growing the potatoes. So now we got a whole block of people that we ain't got to go shop nowhere except with us. You see, so once we get on that mentality, we almost can, in a sense, eliminate money, but get back to the trading and the barter system that we once was built upon when it comes to our food. And the brother okay. out in Oakland, I'm waiting on him because I'm probably going to have Ron Finley Skype in. I'm waiting on his response. I talked to him a couple of weeks ago about the summit. So we're waiting to see if we can have him Skype in and tell us about what he got going on in California. Because we will be having a farm, a Morris Eastside farm, out in L.A. in Cali. And the reason why it's called Moore's East Side Farms and why Moore's is going to be on everything, because what people have to look at is this. When you have something like the NAACP or you have civil rights groups, none of those represent the people. How do you know? Because the people's name is not in it. But if you have a Jewish Defamation League or Asian League or gay and lesbian, you know exactly who they're talking about. But when it comes to us, we run from our nationality. We run from our titles. We run from our attributes. But this is the stance to say, hey, this is who we are. This is what we're about. You can buy into that. And when you Google it, you'll see who we were and what we're about now. See, we're not about that paper terrorism. We're about uplifting humanity. We're about empowering and feeding, creating jobs, everything else on the planet.
Okay. Well, now we got 9 minutes and 26 seconds left. This is what we need. This is the biggie. Because we done throw the word around a few times. I need you guys to describe for me aquaponics.
I guess I
don't everybody jump up
go
at
ahead.
The same time.
Repeat the question, brother. Repeat
I guess I'll
question.
Go in it first. I'll go in. So aquaponics. Aquaponics in a nutshell is basically a way to grow food using a water system and where the actual it's a sustainable food production that combines raising fish basically with cultivating the plants in water. So what you have basically for like example tilapia. So you actually knock two birds with one stone. You know what I'm saying? So you have a fish tank and things of that nature that you're cultivating that with you. If you want to eat, you can eat because the fact that the fish produce actual chemicals that actual help to cultivate the plants through the water that they produce in the water that actually accumulate certain things in the water that will lead to certain byproducts that will cause the crops to grow. So that's the best way to put it in my words. Basically, you're combining what they call aquaculture or raising the actual fish along with the hydroponics, which is cultivating the plants in the water.
Okay. Next speak.
Go ahead,
Suniata, come on. Yeah, Suniata.
I think you might have fell asleep on the phone. But what was the question, brother?
I want a clear description in 7 minutes, in less than 7 minutes, about aquaponics, because we throw that around. Everybody need to get a breakdown on what that is.
Yeah, aquaponics is a great self-sustaining, controlling your own seafood, or even your own veggies without using soil. You're just going to use the water. You put the nutrients in the water because the plants. You're not watering the leaves. A lot of people get out and they water their leaves. You're supposed to be watering the roots. And with aquaponics or hydroponics goes directly to the root of the plant base. Mm-hmm. The aquaponics is the fish that circulates and purifies the water by using the plant base, by using the plants. And if you've seen any of the pictures out there, we have the pipe set up out there to utilize the hydroponics, and you know, you can use a deep water system where the water has to just circulate, and it alleviates the soil. And I just think it's a good demonstration in the hood for our people who never generally see this stuff except online or hearing about it or using experiments, but actually utilizing it, surviving off of it, making commerce off of it, to have it right in the neighborhoods. And this is what we're getting ready to get into. With the solar panels, the hydroponics, and the aquaponics.
Okay. Well, Y'all, we're going to be dialing into Abundance Child's show in a few minutes. And the number to call in is 347-215-6592 right here on Blog Talk Radio. So one more time, that's 347-215-6592. And I'm going to go over there, and we'll be over there and check them out and be on her broadcast and stuff so we can keep on going with this here thing. And I'm going to be shutting this down in the next 4 minutes. But my brief thing and putting this thing in a nutshell, if we got aquaponics and hydroponics, we got fish that are alive, that are organically fed, and the poop from the fish is fertilizing the plant life, and the water is circulating through a system. So now we not only have organic fish, but we have organic plant life, and it's a beautiful system. It's self-sustaining. We created it. We own it. And so now we got an existing market that's importing stuff from all over the country that doesn't have to do that anymore. They can come right to where we are and purchase the best from us.
That's right. Let me add to that, Tahaka, something real quick. When you look at growing the seafood, the fish, with say for example tilapia, most people ship tilapia whole and alive inside of a bag. That's one aspect. But here's another aspect. Mm-hmm. People like Dr. Claude Anderson and other places that have shrimp or large seafood warehouse where they do large tonnage of fish, they should have food processing. This is another niche that we can tap into in our regions by processing food, certain seafoods. And processing is just a license that allows you to gut clean and put that in, let's say, for example, the grocery stores or ship it in that state. And a lot of people aren't doing that. But these are small industries that are normally controlled by other people that we can get into and control it easily. We can be putting the fish inside the grocery stores, and you see where it says a product of Morris Eastside Farm. You see where your name is on that, where you're a part of that. We can easily do that.
Okay. Well, I have to agree with you 100% because we're not talking about something that we're thinking about doing. We're already in motion, and we're starting where we are, and we're doing it. And I'm an eyewitness. I see it. I just left them there yesterday. But anyway, brothers and sisters, I certainly appreciate y'all coming on. And I'm going over here to 347-215-6592. And we're going to be over there on that broadcast, and we're going to keep on going. Thank you all for coming in and sharing this. And we're going to be coming back later on, and we have some of our other speakers come in and drop some more information on the Morris Summit 2 that's coming up August the 16th through the 18th right here in Jacksonville, Florida. You'll get a chance to meet us. We'll meet you. And I've been your host, Tahaka Montel Bay, and all the other guests that have been on here. You all have a good evening. And let's get on over there to Abundance Child Network so we can keep this thing going. Y'all have a good night, okay?
Children, mothers and fathers, well, all your deacons and priests, brothers and sisters, we got to stand up, stand up. Come on, give credit where it's due. Come on, we got to make a